So I'm going to be speaking on generosity, and I'm going to be talking on the 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. So there are two chapters. We're not going to read all the two chapters, but we're going to be reading a portion of that. And I am going to get my trusted helper to read some of the verses in a bit. But I really do think this subject or this topic comes at a very pertinent time as today. Anyone been shopping around in the last couple of days over Black Friday? Well, I've done my fair bit. So according to the Daily Mail, just on Friday, oh, I know, I just happened to stumble on the Daily Mail. I don't normally read it. But they estimated that overall spend just in the UK on Friday alone was £3 billion. That's about £3 million per minute being spent just on Friday alone. That's crazy. That's almost, if you were to put it into perspective, that's almost the cost of building 20 large hospitals. Not trying to be political about it. But anyway, Christmas, the next reason is we're entering into season of giving, Christmas. And according to the stats, and this was last year's stats, 70% of Brits are known to be giving during this period or plan to give during this period, and about half of that are very likely to be donating during this period. So that's interesting. And then the third reason is the World Giving Index. So there is something called as the World Giving Index, and I was just looking up, you know, what are the top countries that actually give or known to be givers. And there are 142 countries in total, and they're ranked based on three different parameters, right? So there's the first one, the charity donation. The second, don't put that. I told you, don't put that. Thank you, Saman. Now that you all know the answer, I didn't see it. Oh, you didn't see it. Oh, good. Don't. Thank you. Yeah, it's just that. Thank you. That's all right. No, that's okay. I'm just a little annoyed. Anyway, so it's ranked on three different parameters, right? There's the first one being the charity donations. The second is the attitude of people actually helping strangers. And the third and the final is volunteering for an organization. So it's been ranked on these three categories. Now that you all know the answer to this, I'm just going to ask a question anyway. Do you know who actually came in the top first rank? I know. No, thank you. Now we can go to the next slide. No, now you can. Yeah.
Oh, no!
There you go. That's Indonesian. Anyway, so... But it stunned me because Indonesia apparently is the seventh time running taking the first spot. It's crazy. I can't even imagine. And if you look at the top 10, you're not going to immediately say all of those countries are in the top rich economies either. And it's crazy, but they're the most generous ones. Anyway, don't go to the next slide yet. Yeah, thank you. Do you know where UK ranked in the ranking of the 142? Oh, come on, Cynthia, you've got to have some faith.
99.
No, it's out of 142. Yeah. So 174, yeah, that's great. Okay, that I get a bit. So we've ranked 22nd. The good news is that we were in the top 10 or 11 in the 6 years running leading up to 2019. And then we just dipped during COVID and we never came back up again. But that's interesting because if you look at it, Black Friday, we spent about £3 billion just on that one day. But then if you look at our overall generosity of the country as a whole, it's dipped. Well, on that very disappointing note, let's go back to the Bible. So I'm just going to get, so we're going to read two chapters, and I'm going to get my trusted friend to read me. So we're going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, and the verses are up on the screen here. So we're going to read from the NIV, and I'm going to be using NIV across today's passage, but where I'm using a different translation, I will just be putting that up on screen. So there you go. So here you go.
Praise the Lord. Our Bible reading is from 2 Corinthians, verse 8, from 1 to 9. And the second one comes from chapter 9, 6 to 15. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given to Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify, they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely their own. For they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the lost people, and they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urged Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to the completion this act of grace on your part. Verse 7. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Amen. We go to chapter 9, from verse 6 to 15. Is generosity encouraged? Remember this, whoever sows sparingly, we also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously, we also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, so that they can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result even to God. Verse 12. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the lost people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confessions of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given to us. Last verse. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gifts.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Thank you for the
words. Thank you so much, Holmi. Great. That's two chapters, chapter 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians. That's just talking of giving. There were 13 chapters in total in 2 Corinthians, and two of that is just on giving. Imagine if we actually did that on a Sunday. taken 20 minutes, just talked about giving, 15% of our overall hour and a half. Would we actually find that a bit awkward? Or actually, would that be an opportunity for us to give so that the church would just overflow in its resources, so that we would have people on staff in abundance? We will have abundance in people that we meet, the church comes in contact with, and there will be abundance in people coming to Sundays and actually meeting God and spiritually fed and physically fed. That would be even better, wouldn't it? The second chapter, the 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 was actually just a bit of context here. Paul was writing when he was in Macedonia and he was doing this drive for collection. And he was referring to the churches in Macedonia. It's actually the three churches that he collected from in that region. And the reason why he was doing this was for two main reasons. One was there was a real need in Jerusalem. There were the Christian Jews were going through, or the entire Jerusalem was actually going through a period of famine, and there was a real need. And they were collecting this for the Christian Jews there. And if you think about at that time, the Christian Jews were heavily persecuted, and primarily for their faith, because we read it in Acts how they were persecuted for accepting Christ as their personal savior. And if you imagine this, being a Christian Jew during that period, the Jews may be able to help themselves a little bit, but the Christian Jews may have been singled out in being helped at all during that period. And Paul also wanted to bridge the gap almost, because there was this divide between Jews and Gentiles, and Jews actually saying, Paul, why are you going and speaking to the Gentiles? You should be speaking to us, it belongs to us. So Paul was almost trying to bridge that gap between Gentiles and the Jews as well by this. So today I have three points that I would like to share on the generosity on the passage that we just read. And the first point is that God is the most generous giver. Can you just imagine the world where God was just close-fisted and penny-pinching? Can you just imagine that? The whole world would just be black and white. That's it. And to be honest, we would just accept it because we would not know anything different. But it's crazy. But if you look at it, like, everything is so beautiful. There's mountains, there's valley, there's river, there's like all sorts of things. And this was a picture that I just took thousands of feet above sea level. And I was, and this is the picture I saw. It was just mountains on end, and it was not ending. And I was just struck by it. Like, why are these mountains there? Who put them in there? And it was beautiful and it was magnificent. And I just kept thinking, wow, isn't that amazing? And if you just look around now, in the autumn landscape, like, you can see all the different types of leaves. And this is when I was taking a walk in the Ashridge Estate a couple of weekends back, and this was the different shades of color of leaves, the different shapes, the different sizes, and the different shapes. There's one of those that are plain, there's one with the ridges ends, there's all sorts. God just didn't make one type of leaf and just keep it there. But it's crazy. If God is an artist, which he is, he's the most generous artist that you can ever find on planet Earth. He loves to play with colors. Just look at the sunset, just look at the sunrise. It blows your mind. In Psalm 65, verse 8 to 13, the psalm just glorifies God as reflected in the beauty of nature and how the nature is a reflection of his love and provision for us. In Psalm 6, in that chapter in verse 8, it says, the whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Your morning dawns where evening fades. You call forth songs of joy. But it's not just nature alone. He gave us his only son and to give us freely eternal life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, it says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Can you just imagine this? And honestly, it does not make sense at all. His son, Jesus Christ, giving up his royal position to come down for us so that we have eternal life, so that we have forgiveness of our sins, of our mistakes. It just does not make sense. If I was God's accountant, which I'm not, I would actually just say to just close the shop, because this is going nowhere. This is too much. He gave his son to die for our sins. His desire is to be close to us and call us his sons and daughters. His love that is persistent, ever flowing, never stopping. His grace that is all powerful, always chasing after us, never giving up. His mercies that are never stopping, ever renewing. His miracles that never dries up, never running out of ideas. His kindness always abides. His absolute dream, his absolute desire is for us to reign with him as his sons and daughters, to rule. It's not just to wipe the glass of the window in the heaven. It is actually to reign with him. Come on, and do we serve a generous God? Amen. Do we serve a generous God? Tell me who can actually outgive God in the way how he just throws his splendor and his majesty in the world. There is none to compare. God is the most generous giver. The second point that I want to unpack today is generosity is an attitude that you carry. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8, Paul is writing and he says, I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others, the sincerity of your love. I was actually listening to this podcast, which is an interview with Simon Sinek. I don't know if you know Simon Sinek at all, but he's a famous inspirational speaker. He was the one who brought up the theory of the golden triangle. And he was actually sharing an example of a real life example of what happened when he was actually coaching someone through. What I'm actually going to share is not meant to be a mental health advice, but it is a helpful guide for I think most of us in this room. So one of his friends was struggling with issues in her life. So she was having a meltdown in her career. She was having a meltdown in her marriage. And he came, and she came up to her friend Simon, and said, "You know what? I would like some coaching on my area of difficulty." And he said, "Okay, yeah, let's have the standing meeting, 90 minutes every Wednesday. Let's meet, and then I will share something." And then he shared a lot, and she felt really growed and pumped, and it went on for 2 days. And after that, she went back up again, went back down again, and it happened for a few weeks. And then he thought to himself, actually, you know what? Why don't I just change it around a little bit? And I'll just do this as an experiment and see how it goes. So he thought he is going to propose something to her and say, look, I've been coaching you. Can you do me a favor? I'm going through something difficult. And I would like you to just coach me through. And we can do it 50-50. So we can do 45 minutes, 45 minutes. 45 minutes you can coach me, 45 minutes I can coach you. But he ended up taking the online, and she was just coaching him. And it went on for a few weeks, and 4 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks later, she was just fine. She didn't need coaching anymore, which is interesting. And whilst that theory is true, or maybe true, we know that the true and lasting love and service cannot be given without depending on God. I just want to put it out there. And if you were to translate this to the wealth and giving, the world teaches us always to just accumulate wealth. You know, we need to save up money. We need to get a house. We need to do that. We need to get a car. We need to get kids. We just need to save up. And there's nothing wrong in saving up. And I will touch on that again. So here is a quote from Simon Sinek during the interview that he said, fundamentally, if we dig deep down, the true skill that we've lost is service. We've overemphasized taking over giving. We've overemphasized selfish over selfless. I found that really, really inspirational almost, and almost challenging as well. There's nothing wrong in saving up for future generation. In fact, the Bible actually supports that logic. And also supports the logic of you need to supply yourself to the extent you're able to. So it's, and then I find myself asking this question, but there might be something else. And I suppose the question that I ask myself is, but where do I actually trust? Who do I actually trust to provide for my everyday? Do I put my trust in my work? Or do I trust in my ability? Do I trust in my bank account? Who do I ultimately trust? And do I actually trust in God? And this is not dissimilar to the time that Paul was actually writing to the Corinthians, because if you were to read in chapter 9 of the 2 Corinthians, verse 5, Paul is saying that the same would be ready, i.e. the generous gift, as a generous gift, and not as grudgingly given due to greediness. Which is almost the same mentality that, you know, the church had almost back then, or may have had. But then you compare that to chapter 8, the very beginning, where he's talking about the Macedonian church giving. In verse 2 of chapter 8, it says, it talks about how the generosity just never aligned with how they were financially. Because in verse 2 it says, in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. So generosity, interestingly, is not when you have ample. Like Simon Sinek's example of where he was coaching his friend through, she didn't have enough and she needed help. But he almost felt like there was something that she had to give in that place. And equally, the Macedonian church did not have ample finance as well to be able to give, but they gave. And it almost takes to this conclusion that generosity is not the measure of your bank account, but it is almost the measure of your heart posture. How are you inclined? Where are you trusting? Is your trust in God or is your trust in the wealth? And the third and the final point that I want to unpack is give to God first. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, it says, they gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. You know, the truth of us human beings is that we can be sometimes a bit selfish. I still remember as a kid, I would just furiously, passionately protect my toys. I just don't want to give it away to anybody, not even temporarily for like 10 minutes. No. I like to protect my toys. When my cousins come, I just like take all my toys and push it off in the cupboard because I really feel bad. Please don't put this on YouTube. And I would furiously protect it. And I was almost at this mindset of, I don't want to lose it. What if they just like it so much that they want to take it home? I will be left with no toys. And that gave me the thought of, I don't want to give away. I would like to keep and I would like to accumulate. And I didn't think of freely giving. But Paul, in verse 7 of chapter 8, he's reminding the Corinthian church to excel in this grace of giving. He says, but since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. And I think if we really want to excel in that grace, we almost need to open up to God to receive that grace. Because if you're not willing to open up to God, we won't be able to act in that grace. So, and that requires us building relationships with God. And Duncan preached about this few Sundays back, about how you build that devotion. A lot of us actually shared about how we have our quiet times with God, and that's how we build that devotion with God. So ultimately, I think generous giving is a response to our trust in God and knowing God's love for us that then outworks itself in generous giving to people. And giving is not something that we do because others do it, or we see our neighbors do it and therefore I need to do it, or we feel compelled to do it, or we want to get something back in return. If I give this, I might get this in return. Or because we just want to feel good about ourselves and we want to give and go, I gave today. I did my job. And today we have this unique opportunity to partner with God, unique provocation to actually be generous, just like how God is generous to us and how he's always generous to us. And here I just want to touch on a few practical stuff, and then I'm just going to bring to a close and just talk a little bit about how we as a church manage our finances and how we you know do that. If that's okay. So Paul spoke about this, and I personally, and I think a lot of us and all the senior leadership team actually take this very, very seriously. Paul spoke about that it is incredibly important to have trustworthy people who handle finances. In verse 21 of chapter 8, it talks about we take pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of man, which means, you know, there was an element of distrust and there could be questions of, are they going to take the money and, you know, just have a party somewhere? And, you know, that might have been the thinking, but he was trying to just take that off and say, you know, well, there are trustworthy people and I really am close with it. So the church has got a board of trustees and they're responsible to ensure the financial and legal integrity of the church. And here are the trustees, hopefully on the screen. Four of us, I'm sure you know most. It's Duncan, Jerry, Janet, and myself. The trustees, I do want to say, are volunteers, other than Duncan, who's on staff, and we don't get paid. Just want to put it out there. We have Andy, who's right at the corner there, and we've got Lizzie, who are on staff, who then looks at finances on a very regular basis as well. And we take finance, and we meet every other month, so once every 2 months. And finance is a standing agenda, and we talk about finance and how the church is actually doing on a very regular basis. The senior leadership team have also met and discussed on the book Maximize, which is by Nelson Searcy, which should hopefully be up on screen, which was then discussed. This was actually a book recommended by Richard Whiteman, who apostolically oversees the Trinity Church. And we will be implementing some of the pieces of what we've read in that book in the next few months. So hopefully we'll see some changes in the communication on this as well. And as a church, we also believe in the principle of tithing. And tithing is simply giving 10% of what we earn. And I don't think tithing is a benchmark for all of us to achieve and say, yeah, I'm generous because I give 10%. The New Testament actually says, you know, generous giving, almost everything belongs to God. But I just want to read this little passage from the ESV Gospel Transformation Study Bible on the passage in Malachi chapter 3, verse 16 and 12. Do I read? I'm conscious of time as well. I'll just quickly read this. It says, God promises to bless, he knows is best, generous giving to his purposes and also to give consequences, to bring consequences upon the miserly. As an annual obligation to give to the Lord, give the Lord 10% of the produce of the land. The tithe belongs to the Sinai covenant. It teaches us general principles of giving, but the obligation is transformed in key ways with the coming of Christ. Christianity radicalizes the source of the tithe. Now the whole life, not just agricultural produce, is explicitly under the lordship of God. Christian giving should still be proportional, willing, and generous. A particular proportion is not specified in the New Testament, but it should be strange. It will be strange to give less in the new age of the gospel, this side of Christ's coming. Our giving is also a diagnostic window into how we view God. If we see God as a gracious giver of all good gifts, we will desire to excel in the grace of giving. If we view him as a hard taskmaster who serves as a burden, however, it will be visible in our reluctant giving. The issue is our attitude, not the amount. Through it all, we remember Jesus, who, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. We are cheerfully generous, not in order to pay God back, but in light of his great and lavish generosity toward us. What else could we do? If I could just ask the band to come. And I just want to put this, you know, challenge forward to us as a church. If you call this, if you call Trinity Church as your home church, and if you don't give, I want to just put this challenge out to you to actually give. Give in the next, for the next 3 months. Just take this on as a challenge and then see what God does. See how and see how you assess it at the end of the 3 months. Assess your financial situation and see how if God has done what he promised he would do. And I want to pray for you if you're in that category. And the second I want to pray for is if you're finding yourself in a place where you're struggling to be generous. I just want to pray for you as well. So let's start that journey of growing a generous giving, generous living almost, if I can replace that. And then change that statistics of number 22 in the UK and bring it to the top 10. And let's start with the church. Amen. Yeah. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, God, because we are excited about this opportunity that we have in front of us to partner with you, God. An opportunity to sow, not sparingly, but so generously into our future, into our community, into our church. And we pray that our hearts will be open and reckless abandon to you, your grace, O Lord. And we ask that, God, in Jesus' name. We also pray, God, for just those of us in the room that sometimes struggle with just generous living and freely giving, like how I was in my childhood. God, I pray for, and still I am sometimes, I pray that you would just work through our hearts, God. That we would not fall in line with the world that says, oh, we need to accumulate wealth. But that we will also learn to freely give, God, in the same way have you received your grace. And we pray, would you just make that a possibility in our lives, God? We just want to surrender our thinking, the way how we position certain things or how we prioritize finances sometimes over many other things, or maybe in our intimate relationships sometimes. And we pray, would we be able to just prioritize you now, God, over those areas? We pray that there will be a shift in our priorities, God, this Sunday. We thank you so much for how generous you are, God, in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless.